There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com. This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 Sports Special.
Live from the VIP area at the 2017 Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens. Hashtag Run Wild.
Running wild indeed down here at the Sevens. Give us your opportunity to, if you'd like to, if you are at the Sevens, do come along and say hi to us. We are broadcasting live from the VIP hospitality area down here. We're also live out there on the main pitch and live in the commentary box. This is a very special grill as we are live down from the Sevens. So going to put you in the picture of the games to look forward to throughout the remainder of this year's tournament. We're also going to be looking at the other major sporting events around the world. Ashes ongoing. We'll have an update on that one. Live football coming your way a little later on in proceedings, and of course we've had the conclusion of a certain Rugby World Cup. The Rugby League World Cup came to a conclusion a little earlier on. We'll have a full report on that one. Who's alongside me? Well, let's introduce you to the team for the rest of the afternoon as we take you all the way up to the final. You won't miss any of the action right here on Dubai Eye 103.8. Steve Yar's alongside me. Carlos van Rosenfeld, a man who played first-class rugby himself. He's here. This must be a sort of a little piece of paradise for you, just rugby everywhere.
Absolutely, Tom. It's been an absolutely fantastic weekend. And the Sevens just never fails to deliver. And this tournament is no different to the rest of them. As I say, some fantastic rugby being played out there. And we're now just awaiting the first of the semi-finals, where South Africa will be taking on Fiji. And then, of course, the second of the semi-finals, New Zealand taking on England. So it's going to be a humdinger. If you're not here, get yourself down to the Sevens.
Marky Archer also alongside us, the pride of New Zealand. Talking of New Zealand, give them a chance. I mean, of course, give them a chance. They're in the semi-finals.
Yeah, they've struggled to find form exactly, but they've found themselves in the semi-finals. They've had a couple of tough matches in their pool. They found some wins where they were struggling yesterday, and then they had a good come-from-behind win against Kenya in the quarter-finals today. So you never write off the All Black Sevens team. They'll be there or thereabouts, competitive as always in their semi-final later this afternoon.
So you've got New Zealand to back the whole way through to the final. You've got South Africa. Being impressed with their form?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're the pick of all the teams. And, you know, everybody we've been speaking to this morning has said that South Africa definitely seem to have the edge. Defensively, they've been very, very organized. Neil Powell's done an outstanding job with the guys, and also a very experienced team. You know, the likes of Sinatla's still in there. Carl Brown is still in there. You know, Kwaka Smith. These are all players which have been on the circuit for quite a while. So I think South Africa at the moment are definitely the favorites. But, Tom, you know, in this game of sevens, things can change so, so quickly. So at the moment, they're looking good, but a tough, tough semi-final against Fiji.
I mean, you're taking on the Olympic champions here, and you never quite know. You're going to get a very, very good Fijians team, or you're going to get a brilliant Sevens team as well. So if they find their A game, it's tough for anyone in the Sevens circuit to live with the Fijians if they find their A game. But South Africa have been so good defensively, stopping teams from scoring, and Fiji have been conceding tries. So let's see if they can up their defensive level. But it is a fascinating, or two fascinating semi-finals to look forward to.
Yes. Well done to the Joining Jack boys, just going past our broadcast position. Congratulations to Joining Jack, victorious in the Invitational Tournament, the Social Invitational. The boys just going past to take on some liquids over in the Emirates hospitality area. Joining Jack veterans winning it for the very first time in their history, taking on J9 in the final.
Yeah, absolutely. And what a final it was, Tom. I tell you what, Jason Robinson, he's still got it, that boy. He has still got it. So, yeah, great seeing him, Mark Quetta, out there. And, yeah, fantastic for the Joining Jack boys. It was a tough final right till the end, but deserved winners.
Deserved winners indeed. Congratulations to all the team behind Joining Jack. Just seeing Martin Afire over there in conversation. Big smile. He's part of the management team this year. Also, Mark Quetta, as you mentioned there. And here comes a friend of the show along with us. In fact, we might try and get a word with Tom. Tom, let's get a quick word from the victorious man himself. Hey, Ben. Ben Ryan passing us as well. Everyone's out and about. Tom May alongside us here, friend of the show. Congratulations, fella. You've just won a title down here at the Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens. How on earth does it feel personally for you and for the rest of the team?
Well, we were pleased when That's it got all. Shortened from 10 to 7 minutes. But hey, look, the whole thing was to come out here and raise awareness, and being able to do that on the main field was, you know, the boys are buzzing. You don't get to do that anymore when you finish playing professionally. And I could tell, you know, you stood in the tunnel and it's like, oh, hang on, this is full on again.
Is that the old muscle memories going on there?
Yeah, and then suddenly you see big people walking towards you and you're like, oh, no, this is really...
And Tom, it was a heck of a competitive match. You've got to give a bit of credit to the J9 team that also fronted up. There was not much between the teams, but at the end of the day, you just held on and got the victory.
Yeah, and do you know what? Playing against Fijians is so tough because any slight movement in your defensive system and they're gone, and they're jumping in the air and bouncing around. But actually, you know, the defensive unit that they used to in rugby league worked well with what they were trying to do in our game over there. So, hey, look, we're pretty pleased. We're blowing. I don't think we could have done another game. I'm glad it's just ended. But, that's what it was all about. And Jack was absolutely, he's loving being on top of the stage, lifting the prize, and that was what it was all about.
Yeah, it's all about getting eyeballs on the charity, getting eyeballs for Johnny Jack, trying to raise more awareness. You've done that one in style by getting onto the pitch. That was the first challenge to go then and take silverware home. I mean, set a bit of a precedent for next year now, haven't you?
Well, yeah, suddenly it's a bit like, oh no. I think as soon as you get on the main field, everyone knew that. Okay, getting onto the main field is one thing, but you don't want to go out there and embarrass yourself. Yeah. You know, I've played in a few of these sort of legends or invitational type games, and it ramps up pretty quickly. And you walk into somewhere like that, and you know, you don't necessarily have the lungs you used to have, or you don't have the physical presence you used to have, but the pride's still there and the competitive nature's still there. So, you don't want to embarrass yourself and get skinned by Fijian. So just
let's just take you back to pre-match. I mean, the negotiations ongoing to reduce it from 10 minutes to 7 minutes aside, because final should be 10 minutes, going down to seven. That was a shared decision, was it, between the two teams?
Well, we found out about it just as we walked onto the field, and everyone was like, "Oh, we'll take that." So it wasn't organised by us. But there was a few boys that say, "Oh, yeah, we'll take that." And actually, if it had been 10 minutes, who knows? But I think it's, look, you got to win anything that's put in front of you, and they've got some great players. Frightening pace, size. Quates is wearing one on his nose. It's brilliant, just ruin his new looks.
But obviously, I mean, you've got some great players as well. New look team for this year. Some of the old boys stepping up to the plate and really putting it back on.
Yeah, and look, to run out again with the likes of Jason, who's walking up here. He's still got it, isn't he? Just a little bit of a head wobble and everyone falls over.
Well done, Jason. Congratulations. Victorious.
So, to come out with a team like that, and it's difficult, right? Because these, a lot of these boys don't know how to keep hold of the ball on the floor, or don't know how to present the ball. So there's a bit of learning that has to be done, which comes from us Union boys. But they picked it up well, and they're good enough players.
Pat Richards joined the team this year as well. Obviously, a Wigan legend, a man who represented Ireland by way of Australia, played at the very highest level down in the NRL as well. Was he a difference as well? Did he bring a new element?
Yeah, and I think. Luke Dawn as well, that their ability to just get into the half holes onto those sort of arm tackles. And then, you look at Pat Richards as a winger that's 6'4" and, well over 100 kilos. He can get the ball out the other side. So you just follow players like that. I found my sort of little niche, I think. My kickoffs were quite handy, which meant that Pat, obviously at 6'4", could just tap them back. So we were winning the ball off the kickoffs, which was great, because you don't want to be defending for long periods of time in this game.
And I'm not going to keep you any longer because I know there are post-match negotiations, celebrations.
Yeah, it's called the recovery session, Tom.
I've had my mini bottle of water and now I'm moving on.
We will let you get into the Emirates Hospitality, join the rest of the teams. Well done, Tom. Well, congratulations. Cheers. To you. Congratulations to all the Johnny and Jack team. Really, really happy for you. Made up for you guys.
Cheers, fellas. Good to speak to you.
But good to have Tom May join us live on the show. And congratulations again to joining Jack victorious in the International Invitational social element of the Sevens down here. One of the elements that so many people talk about in terms of what makes Dubai different from other tournaments.
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. And I think, we were speaking a bit about it this morning. And I think the big thing is that, doesn't matter what league you're playing in, the final takes place on the main pitch. So, if you're a club team, if you're a school team, all of a sudden you've got the opportunity to play in front of, 30-odd thousand people. And I think that really, really adds to the spectacle and what makes it such a special tournament.
We shouldn't be remiss to talk about the UAE club final as well. As your old team, the Exiles, come away with a very close victory against the Jebel Ali Dragons. That is a grudge match. That is a bragging rights match for the next 12 months. That the Exiles probably slightly underdogs going into the final, but they found a way to win against the Dragons, and for the next 12 months they'll be the Sevens champions.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think, you know, it's been a long time coming. I remember losing two finals in that stadium, one to the Jebel Ali Dragons. So yeah, always fierce competition, Arch, but as you say, for them to walk away with that title, it's massive. Jacques Bernardi, the coach, was absolutely, you know, over himself by winning that one, and as you say, for the next 12 months they are the kings of the desert.
We will get out to the main pitch in just a few minutes time. Why? Because Kenya have just played Australia in the semi-finals of the lower place playoffs. So Kenya going over in the dying seconds, but I think it's too little too late. Let's get the latest from CVR on this one.
Yeah, Tommy, as you just said, they've gone over for a try, but too little too late. Australia winning that one 19 points to 12, and both these teams actually quite unlucky to be in this playoff, because I found Kenya were very, very unlucky to lose to New Zealand, of course, in that quarterfinal match, and then losing to New Zealand, and Australia losing to England early on.
Right, let's try and get a little bit of reaction on that particular game, because whilst we are here, it is also good news that we've got teams on the pitch and around the pitch. In fact, let's go up to the commentary box. We'll see if we can get up to the commentary box to speak to Robbie Greenfield, who's going to be with us throughout proceedings. Robbie, are you there? No, we'll get Robbie on the line in just a little while. We'll also be heading out to pitch side, catch up with Graham, who is going to be with us throughout proceedings. In fact, let's see if we can connect with Graham now, as he's on the pitch for us throughout proceedings. Gray, another victory for Australia.
Right, Tom, it's Robbie here, overlooking. I'm up in the crow's nest, overlooking the pitch here on pitch one. I think I can cross down to Graham Clues. I think he's going to have a chance, perhaps, to speak to one of the coaches, Andy Friend, the victorious head coach, of course, for the Australians, beating Kenya in the fifth place playoff. And Graham, any reaction down there?
I'm going to try. It's all a bit chaotic at the moment. Obviously, the semi-final, two teams have just marauded onto the pitch there to get ready for the first big semi-final, South Africa against Fiji. Australia starting to walk off. They will have another game to play tonight. They're in the fifth place final. Kenya, though, that's the end of their Dubai Rugby Sevens here for 2017. I don't really think any of the coaches from that match are going to want to speak. I mean, what can they say, Robbie, at the moment? It's a match that neither of them really want to be playing in. They have to suffer as well as they walk off the pitch to see the semi-finalists come on the pitch. That's where they want to be. That's the match they both want to be in. But a great atmosphere. It was quite subdued there between Australia and Kenya. The crowd kind of really waiting now for the big semi-final, which is literally about to kick off in front of my eyes. Huge galleries. Everyone's full up. DHL is completely full. Fly Emirates is completely full. Donata completely full. And around where you are, completely full as well. No one wants to miss the next two games.
And it's just getting underway between Fiji and South Africa, guys. I can tell you this is a repeat of last year's final. Two of the most successful sides in rugby sevens history. Fiji, the Olympic champions, of course. South Africa, a winner of five tournaments in the 2016-17 series. And this one is going to be a cracker, Graham.
Absolutely. I think everyone was really excited about this. We interestingly heard from Ben Ryan, the former Fiji head coach, of course. He came and talked to the boys up where you are earlier today, and he was just wondering about Fiji's ball possession, if that might be a weakness that South Africa could exploit. And as I say that, South Africa are starting to march forward. Can they get on the try line? They've got it down the left wing. They're trying to get in there, but the Fiji defence has come across and stopped them for a little bit. They're right on the try line now, South Africa, trying to go for an early score, and they have gone over right in the corner. South Africa 5, Fiji 0, and a conversion attempt to come as well, Robbie. A
lot of South African expatriates here in attendance at the Sevens Stadium. The atmosphere, guys, is really electric as we get into this semi-final. It's the pick of the bunch for me personally. South Africa really still the favourites, I think, to win this tournament. They've been in such sparkling form. Fiji, though, you can never write them off. Great ball handlers, great pace in that side as well. We'll cross back over to you, but do make sure you get back to us for a further update on this semi-final, guys.
Will indeed. Thanks very much indeed to Robbie and to Graham. More from them at full time from this first of our semi-finals. Talking of those semi-finals, let's cross over to live coverage. Just before we do that, let's get an update from CVR about the conversion.
Yeah, Tom, it's first blood to South Africa. Fantastic try there by Cecil Africa going over in the corner. 5 minutes played. South Africa 5, Fiji 0.
5 minutes remaining in the first half of the first semi-final. South Africa against Fiji. England against New Zealand to follow this one. Let's get the latest from our commentary team.
Fiji into the contact. You can see there, a couple of defenders, two wide, gets trapped, holds on to the ball, and Scottish referee says that he held on too long. Africa wants to get on with it quickly, taps it, moves it. Ball just lost forward there in the transfer. Hidalgo looking for a short ball, didn't get it. And the Fijians will get a defensive scrum.
Well, Quagga Smith leading the charge of his forward pack. Werner Kock just completely personifies his team. So committed in attack and defence. He's an exciting player, only 30 tournaments, he's been around for years.
It's a young Fijian side as far as events go, only 147 compared to South Africa's 447. And they have battled on this field on a number of occasions. They were here in Dubai in the final last year. That was won by the Blitzbokker, 26-14. And now Fiji, through Drani Sinukula, sets it up. Two wide plays halfback. Nice pass out to Kunavula. He in turn shifts it out to where Ravovo. But Timo Ravovo is looking to try and get the ball over the top and now just batters it down. Good defence coming from the South Africans.
Really good defence. They're trying to keep a little bit of shape and structure, but just so hard against Ravuvu when he does his magic. These Fijians, fast feet. It's so hard to adjust against it. The South Africans, defenders aligned. They miss quite a few tackles, but they always support each other's inside.
Plenty of expats from South Africa and plenty of support in the crowd for Fiji. 73 matches, these two sides. Fiji 41, South Africa 30 with a couple of draws. The average scoreline is around 17-16. That's how close it is between these two brilliant sevens countries. As Sanatla kicks over the top. Werner Kock chase and catch. Now he's brought down, needs some support. Not out. Had to release the ball.
Well, Sam Grove-White completely correct, but what a shame. They've got it all. Bit of space in behind. Sanatla puts it on the right peg. Werner Kock takes it. But there needs to make sure he releases. He does that all the time. Tries to put the ball, get his arms free, then go again. But there, just got caught out.
Cecil Africa scores the first try after 95 seconds. There is Werner Kock, who made his debut in London in 2012-13. 72 tries he has scored, and he's one of the best defenders and one of the best at going over the ball.
His turnovers are phenomenal.
The win from Kunavula. Two eye loops around after playing the halfback role and now cuts with Ravovo. Nice step from two white. There is Quaker Smith trying to get the ball. He gets cleaned out. Now Fiji have possession. Still inside their own half and now they put on the power game. Drew Kunavula. Queuing up out here to the right. Smith doesn't miss the tackle. Neither does Werner Kock, and in quickly is Sanatla. Steals it. Siabello Sanatla will race away. He is so quick and hardly got out of first gear, but the presence of mind to go in, to steal the ball and then race 50 metres. This is the Blitzbokker's second.
Well, he just does his signature cross of the ball under the posts. Any aspiring wingers around the world, take a look at this, because it's all from the breakdown. That's what's crucial about it. Sanatla, not just about the gas, he does the graft as well. Lovely chop tackle, that man we mentioned, Werner Kock, going low, straight over the ball, gets the advantage, and see you later. Siabala Sanatla, time and time again, this guy is so impressive.
Terrific to have him back in the game after spending time at Super Rugby. A Super Rugby, he is a superstar.
How great to have a player like that in your team.
Defending champions in South Africa have won here in 2003, 06, 2008, 2014 and last year. Cecil Africa, that's a nice high kick, giving his chasers plenty of time to get up and compete. Not caught by Kunavula. They've still got the ball. Here's Ravovo. Good hassle from Smith. Quick hands from two white. Snayman and Dry work in tandem and they drag him towards the touchline. Referee says the player is out. Siren has sounded and that is the first half of the first semi-final. of the HSBC World Series. 2-0. South Africa leading by 12.
And they're looking so good for it. Their defence typified at the end there, throwing the Fijian players into touch. They are relentless in their pursuit, South Africa, for greatness, and they really are setting an impressive standard.
Is Dubai Eye 103.8.
Live from the 2017 Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens. Hashtag Run Wild.
Yeah, we're down live in the village area, the corporate hospitality area, broadcasting all the way through to the end of proceedings down here at this year's Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens. Lots to look forward to in the next couple of hours. Lots to look forward to down here. But loads of sport going on around the world. In fact, let's just put you on the picture of an early goal, an early goal of note as well, over in La Liga. Early kickoff. CVR's got the latest for us on this one.
Yeah, Tom, what I can tell you, it's Barcelona taking on Celta Vigo. And Celta Vigo have just scored. They lead Barcelona 1-0.
It stumps in the Ashes. Mark Archer's been watching day one of the first ever Ashes day-nighter. They're using the pink ball down in Australia. What's the latest, Arch?
Yeah, it's all happening at the Adelaide Oval. Day one is complete. Stumps has been drawn. England won the toss, elected to bowl first. Some would argue that's quite a defensive move by the Joe Root, the English captain. At stumps, Australia are 209-4. So it's fair to say the match is delicately poised. Wickets to fall today. Cameron Bancroft run out for 10. David Warner caught Bairstow, bowled Wokes for 47. Usman Khawaja caught Vince Bold, Jimmy Anderson for 53. And a big wicket just before stumps, the captain Steve Smith bowled by the debutant Craig Overton for 40. Not out for Australia, Peter Hanscom on 36 and Sean Marsh on 20. So stumps on day one of the day-night test match at the Adelaide Oval. Australia are 209-4.
Even Stevens, would you say?
I'd say even Stevens, though, but England, having won the toss, putting Australia into bat, what would have wanted more wickets. It was a rain-interrupted day. They went on and off the field, I think, three or four times. And I think England would have liked a couple more wickets at the end. The big blow for them, though, was getting the dismissal of Steve Smith, who looked was really the difference between the two teams in the first test match. Big wicket for England. They're going to have to come out and pick up a couple of wickets early on day two to get into it. There are two other test matches taking place as well, Tom. It'd be remiss of us not to talk about the third test match between India and Sri Lanka. India have been dominant in this series, 371-4. Who scored the runs? Well, Virat Kohli just hit his third consecutive test century. He is 156 not out. Murali Vijay, 155 not out. So India in a dominant position against Sri Lanka, 371-4. Also, day two stumps down in New Zealand. Based in Reserve Wellington, New Zealand seemed to be in control against the West Indies. West Indies dismissed for 134. Neil Wagner with a career best 7-39. New Zealand 447-9 at stumps. Colin de Granholm scored 105 of only 74 balls. So it seems as though delicately poised test match in Adelaide, but in New Zealand the Black Caps are in control, and in India versus Sri Lanka, India seem to be in the driving seat there.
There's been another goal over in Spain. Let's get the latest, CVR.
Yeah, Tom, no other than that man, Lionel Messi, has scored the equaliser for Barcelona. So Barcelona 1, Celta Vigo 0, and in the Premier League, Chelsea have just kicked off against Newcastle.
Chelsea off against Newcastle, that's your early kickoff in the Premier League. Chelsea in blue, Newcastle in the black and white. We'll give you latest news on that one as we get it throughout the afternoon. Just give you a quick news recap on the team news. Let's go to Chelsea. Courtois, Azpilicueta, Christiansen, Rudiger, Moses, Drinkwater, Fabregas, Kante, Alonso, Edwin Hazard is back in as well. He's joined by Morata, Darlow, Manquillo, Lejeune, Clark, Mbemba, Diame, Marino, Ritchie, Perez, Murphy and Gale all lining up for the opposition. It's off down at Stamford Bridge. It's Chelsea against Newcastle. No goals in that one, but there has been another try back here at the 7. South Africa taking on Fiji in the semi-final. CVR.
Yeah, Tom, what I can tell you is it's that man, Quagga Smith, sporting a lovely Movember, diving over for South Africa. Currently, South Africa 12, Fiji 0. 3 minutes, 37 seconds left to play.
Let's go and listen into the remainder of that game. It is a crucial one. South Africa bossing it against Fiji at the moment. They will take on either England or New Zealand. They're up straight after this particular game. Let's get some live commentary. South Africa leading Fiji by 12 points to zero.
South Africa, the visits to the 22. Too white, throws the ball up. It's competed by Africa. And they'll get the penalty now. They'll tap and go. Now Sela with the first real chance to get ball in hand. Rid of a few defenders. Throws the dummy. Nice tackle from Hidalgo. Brown goes in looking for the steal. Didn't roll away. They'll tap and go again. Now the up-tempo from the Fijians. Looking to try and open their account. But Volvo gets it out to Stewart. Sinatla showing why he is such a class player. Both on attack and defense, makes the tackle, gets into the competition.
Well, I think they're a little bit unlucky there. Yes, they may have been going forward, but that was a South African victory of that ruck battle. And it's the small men put in the big shots. You see Sinatla back at his feet, securing it. Vernacock then comes through. 2i is never going to win that battle, I'm afraid. The hooked heel, I think that's unlucky. For me, that is South Africa winning that collision, and they deserve the ball from it.
World Series Cup final between these two sides in 2013, 29-17, won by Fiji last year in the Cup final, won by South Africa. As Dupreer feeds the ball, gives it to Vernacock, and Ciabalos and Sinatla comes into first receiver, second receiver rather, as opposed to being out on the wing. Now Hidalgo, the bump and run, the chip and chase. The ball will win everybody in the race to the sideline. Quickly, the Fijians know that their time is ticking. They've got 2 minutes and they're going to have to try and score twice. The offload, and now the man over out to Vunakula. Kunavulo on the outside. What a tackle from Vernacock. And the scoop up from Dupreer. Gets it off to Quaker Smith. Dry is there. So is Brown. Hidalgo gets the ball. He's got Sinatla way out to the left. Back into Dupreer. Good defense coming from the Fijians. Looking to try and get the turnover. Counter ruck they thought about. And the South Africans just slow things down. Dry and has got Vernacock and also Quaker Smith out here. No shoulder used, and now the ball is dislodged, and here goes Fiji. Kunavula trying to get away from Quaker Smith. Stewart now into Nasilasila on Ciabalos Sinatla, who makes another tackle. Oh, they're flying in. It's been a real feature of the South African side has been their defense, and now Stewart needs some support. Gets isolated, finally gets it to Nasilasila. They've got numbers here. Finally, Jerry Tuwai gets the ball, and Fiji will score.
And that just shows you how hard you have to work against this South African team to score against them. That was incredible defence, yet the Fijians kept the ball alive, it kept moving, the shots kept coming, and Tuwai does his thing on the right.
12-7 as the clock kicks down to 20 seconds. Now the restart. Young Jerry Tuwai has had to take on a lot of pressure, and he absorbs it. He is such a quality player.
It's getting exciting now. You know they've got one big play left in them for Fijians. Not one stressed person.
Well, Kunavula might be the target, and they might even go down in between where the two pods are and use the big frame of Thaka Umbalavu, and that's exactly where they go to the big man, who'll go high and batter it back. And now Fiji have got possession. That's the sign of the Uta. Too wide, gets it wide. Fiji, last throw of the dice, last chance saloon for Nasilasila. Can they break through the South African defense? No, they can't. And the Blitzbocker will get a chance to defend their title. Tremendous scenes here in Dubai. Jubilation for the Blitzbocker. Heartache and heartbreak for the Fijians.
There you have it. South Africa 12, Fiji 7. What a gripping encounter that was. And South Africa, well worth that victory. Incredible stuff from the two try scorers as well. Cecil Africa and Siyabola Senatla. They are an impressive looking side. Graham Clues is down pitch side. Graham, they were well worth that, weren't they?
Oh, they were absolutely worth it. And before Fiji scored, I was trying to work out, had they even been in the South African half for the entire match? I couldn't think of a moment, save for one bit over on the right-hand side where South Africa allowed them even in their half. It was a total performance there. I think if Fiji had nicked it at the end, that would have been pretty unfair on the South Africans. A total performance. Brilliant in attack, brilliant in defence as well. We might have to just keep talking for a little while because Neil Powell is going to talk to his team first. As I say that, England and New Zealand storm out onto the pitch for the second semi-final, knowing that South Africa awaits them in the final, whichever one it's going to be that's going to win. But that was absolutely, that was South Africa's performance of the tournament so far, by far, Robbie.
Yeah, there's no rest for the wicked here. There's about 30 players on the pitch at the moment. South Africa and Fiji are finally departing the stage. It was an incredible semi-final. For me, South Africa, very much the favourites to defend the crown they won here 12 months ago. Siyabola in particular, Siyabola Senatla, he was so impressive, wasn't he, last year, Graham?
Yeah.
They're electric on the back, these two ponytailed wingers.
Yes.
who are just incredible going forward. But it's the gutsy defence as well, as you say. Fiji barely out of their own half for the vast majority of that game. They were just crushed, and South Africa will proceed to that final.
Yeah, those two ponytails you talk about in South Africa, so identifiable. As soon as one of them gets the ball, you know, they're those players that the crowd just starts to stand up on their feet, and they know that something special is going to happen. And that was the total performance. If I was either the head coach of New Zealand or England, whoever does get through this semi-final, which has just kicked off, they're going to have a lot of work to do to stop South Africa scoring at will, like they pretty much did in that semi-final, and also to make a breakthrough themselves. Their defence was unbelievable during that. And as I say, the New Zealand-England second semi-final is underway on the pitch, only 30 seconds gone, and we're pretty much still on the halfway line. Nobody really making any inroads as yet.
I think the South African coach, Neil Powell, he's evaded you. He's sidestepped you, Graham. I think he's run off to be with his teammates and celebrate their victory. So
yeah, I mean, he's got a lot to talk to. I was wondering at halftime what he was actually going to say to his team. They were playing so well. He'd just go, nice one, carry on. I mean, there's nothing to say, really. Yeah, he's gone down the other end of the pitch to have a huddle with his team, so we may not be able to speak to him, but we'll try and catch him. He is in the final, so he's going to stick around for the rest of the night anyway. And ongoing on the pitch, New Zealand, England, 0-0. Still, everything happening on the halfway line so far in the first minute or so. But as I say that, England on the march. They've taken a breakthrough and they're through in the left-hand side of the pitch. Touched the ball down very comfortably. No tackle on him. And England take a 5-0 lead with 5.5 minutes of the first half still to go.
There you go. Good start for England. We'll be keeping an eye on this one. But for now, back to you, Tom, in the VIP area.
Thanks so much indeed to Robbie and Graham. We'll have more from these boys at full time. No goals in the Chelsea game as yet. Couple of goals in the Barcelona game.
No, Tom, the easy and actual effect at a goal in the Chelsea game. 30 minutes played, Newcastle 1, Chelsea 0.
The away team have taken the lead at Stamford Bridge in the last few seconds. So Newcastle leading Chelsea. Barcelona still 1 apiece in their early kickoff. And it's England in the ascendancy against New Zealand at the moment. Mark Archer's down tools. He doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah, 5 minutes to go in the first half. Though early stages, England have struck first with the try. Conversion to come. They lead the New Zealand All Blacks team 5-0. And conversion was unsuccessful. So early stages, but England have struck first, and that's a telling blow for the English.
We will keep our eyes on this one. We've got Robbie and Graham at full time, but let's join the commentary team. 4.5 minutes left in the first half of this second semi-final. New Zealand against England.
This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 Sports Special.
Live from the VIP area at the 2017 Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens. Hashtag Run Wild.
Loaded into Weber there. The Carpentier. Lovely offload off the deck. Now Norton with a chance to get on the outside. Norton rounded up. What a battle those two are having on that far touchline. Revolvo and Norton.
I'm loving that though. Really, really am. Both players up to the task. I like the way that they back themselves on the outside. Revolvo only just gets him. It does got enough and takes him over the sideline. Look at the hit here. Joey Weber usually has big shoulders, but that's what I think England bring, that physicality.
Huge contact from McConaughey on Weber. Curry in the middle, pulls it down. 5-0 the score in favour of England for the moment. Norton goes in and makes another tackle. New Zealand appealing for a higher tackle, but it will go on down as a knock-on, and it'll be a New Zealand feed to the scrum.
The thing is, Dan Norton's actually jamming in, so if New Zealand are able to get that last pass away, there's a man free. You can see there, he's hedged his bets, he's left his opposite free, and if he misses that tackle, then there's a man on the outside. Joe Webber tries to draw a McConaughey. Norton's actually caught short there, but he makes the tackle.
Just the one try separating these two sides. Good hustle at the back there from Lindsay Haigh. Bit of chance on the other side for New Zealand. Haigh gets back. What's the play here? He dives on it.
Well, that's a 5-meter scrum because he's knocked it back, yeah.
Indeed it is. New Zealand will take a ton of sopping this close to the line.
Well, he did well to get in the passing lane, didn't he? And stop their try, Lindsay Haigh, but it just hit a little bit too far as it goes dead. There's nothing he can do. He's waiting for it to bounce up. Unfortunately, just the wrong one for him. But great for New Zealand. As they're only 5 metres out, this is their opportunity to get their first score. Well, here it goes for half-time.
New Zealand looking to level up or even hit the lead right on the break here. In the second cup semi-final, out it comes for Weber. He holds the ball up nicely there for Ware. He's going to get a good shot on it at the breakdown through Burgess. They're called out eventually. Mickelson. Look at them hungry for the ball there, England. And I think they've turned it. They have. Massive work on their try line, England. And they'll just jam that into the turf and say, you know what? We'll park it there for the moment and head off to the break with that 5-point buffer. Huge work from the English big men.
That's the captain, Tom Mitchell. He's the second man in right there. He's probably playing the ball on the ground. Wasn't caught by the assistant referee.
So, cracking first half in this second semi-final. The crowd is pumping down here at the Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens. Let's get a bit of insight from the team here in from our broadcast position. CBR's been watching this one as well. Two very evenly balanced teams, these two.
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. I think that New Zealand squandered a massive chance there just before halftime. It was an attacking scrum for them. They needed to try the equaliser, which they didn't get. England turned over the ball. But yeah, as you say, two very evenly based teams. A very, very close game this. But halftime currently, England are leading New Zealand 5-0.
Fair to say that New Zealand Sevens, can we call them the All Blacks? Are they All Black Sevens?
All Black Sevens, I think. They got rebranded. Yeah, it used to be only the All Blacks, used to be exclusive just for the 15s, but I think they do now refer them as the All Black Sevens.
Okay, so we're not going to get told off.
There'll be a lawsuit somewhere, but
we'll have some curse.
The brand police will be on us somewhere, Tom. But yeah, a little bit of work to do there. They had an opportunity right on the half time. They had an attacking scrum 5 metres out. Three players in each team tied up in the scrum. Lots of space, but England did incredibly well defensively to keep the lead going into half time. So England 5, New Zealand 0. Bit of a cliche, but it will be very important who scores first after half time to see who comes away with this match, Tom.
We're going to throw to Robbie Greenfield now and get all the latest from... No, we're not going to do that, but we will do that at full time. Actually, we might do... Let's throw it to... Should we throw it to Robbie Greenfield? Let's throw it to Robbie Greenfield, see if we can get some thoughts from pitch side in just a few minutes' time.
No, we'll thanks, Tom.
At the end
it's
of
not Robbie,
match.
It's Chris. I've jumped in.
Oh, Cardi, you've joined us now.
I've joined the party. Why not? We'll add another voice to proceedings as well. But yes, I can tell you, Tom, the party is well and truly started here. Both stands are absolutely packed. I'm looking down at Graham Clues. He's loving it as well. He's bopping along. He's dancing. It's dad dancing down there, pitch side. Graham, you're enjoying yourself down there.
Yeah, it was dad dancing. I can't deny that. It's the best I could do. I feel, you know, when you've got thousands of people looking your way, you tend to be a little bit insecure about your dancing.
But on the pitch, there's no dancing going on, I can assure you. Very, very tight match. England 5-0 up at the break, but really 5-0 in a semi-final at the Dubai Sevens is nothing. Can easily turn around. New Zealand spent the last couple of minutes of the first half very close to England's try line, but the horn really saves England's blushes, and they remain 5-0 up as the second half is about to kick off. And as you say, the stadium's absolutely jam-packed now. Nobody's going to miss this.
Absolutely not. Back over to you, Tom, in the VIP area.
Thanks much indeed. McCarty, good to have you on board. We were just jesting with Robbie Greenfield because we can actually see him from our broadcast position. He's come over here for a pie. I don't know what he told you. He told you what he's doing, McCarty, because he's here, stuffing his face.
I think Robbie just said he was popping out the gents, and we've just seen him emerge from Chalet A in the hospitality unit.
Listen, let's get back down to the... just going to bring you updates on that goal in the early kickoff over at Chelsea. Chelsea are being beaten by Newcastle as we speak. The man with the goal, Dwight Gale, who got the goal at Old Trafford, wins a header. Jacob Murphy causing panic in the Chelsea descents with the ball running loose off Marcos Alonso. And just as I say that, we've got an equaliser down at Stamford Bridge. 22 minutes in, and Chelsea have equalised with Newcastle. It's one apiece after 22 minutes. We'll give you all the latest on that one in just a few moments' time. We'll have full-time analysis from Graham Clues and our man Chris McCarty in just a few moments. But 5:55 left on the clock. England leading New Zealand. Let's get to more match commentary.
Loose out the back and Mitchell. Oh, he just bobbled it on the deck. It was a gift for the captain and he couldn't take advantage.
The clinch of the teeth say it all there. I think it was Robbo coming around and booting that ball out of the New Zealand scrum. Small moments in these top games. It's those small moments.
So unlike Tom Mitchell to grasp one like that. One of the best players on the series, Tom Mitchell. Sweeps well at the back and attacks with real precision. At the moment, he'll be defending as New Zealand look to create something in the midfield. They can't do so, and here is Mitchell. Mitchell gets it back for McConaughey. They link up again. Rory McConaughey does a great job of getting it back inside to Burgess, but he went without. The ball goes straight back into the hands here of New Zealand. Off goes Mickelson. Over the dancing feet there of Regan Ware. The counter ruck here is strong from England. It forces New Zealand to commit extra numbers. And now England can number up well in defence. Here's Revovo. Norton gives him a look on the outside. And this time round, Big Joe makes Dan pay.
Joe Revovo. That's the beauty of having a big man on the wing. He's tried twice. Dan Norton's had his measure. But on this occasion, Big Joe, the power comes through. He is an absolute monster, isn't he, Big Joe Revolver? Only a young man. But if you give him so many opportunities, at some stage he's going to break one.
Tell us a bit more about his journey into the New Zealand Sevens jersey.
He's gone through Auckland, come off a 15-a-side season. He's been absolutely outstanding. Taking a little while to get his Sevens fitness here, Shawnee.
Conversion, he's on the board. 7-5. New Zealand up, and Tom Mitchell comes from the field. That could be a huge blow for the English. Fingers crossed for them that he's okay. New Zealand go deep this time with a restart. Onto the field goes Will Edwards. It's a great defence in this second half from New Zealand. They've pinned England in their half. Rodwell across for Norton. Norton beat Revovo. This time round, Norton kicks ahead for himself. Revovo followed through with a tackle, and Craig Joubert said all is okay. Now what about the pick-up and go from Burgess? Phil Burgess won't have enough in the tank to get there. Pops it up. Who else is on board for England? It's scrappy and now New Zealand steal. Burgess has to get up and make the tackle. It's Helder Skelter from New Zealand and England. A chance now for Kuroi, the hot stepper. De Carpentier comes in and gets all of him. End-to-end footy from both these sides. Just how we like it. Across from Mickelson. Number two on number two. And Glover got Mickelson and now looks for the turnover and wins the penalty. On they go. Norton. Norton creates some space with a quick tap and go. Oh, it's been misread by England. And New Zealand sweep in through a new sub. Away goes Dixon now. He's in quicksand. England rush back and look to cover up and shut down this threat. De Carpentier goes in. Now Rodwell looks for the counter. This could be the knockout blow. New Zealand. It goes wide. They're queuing up. And guess who's there? Ravovo. New Zealand 12, England 5. Kick to come.
You know what? You've got to give it to both of these teams from end to end to end. That takes heart, Shawnee. This is England. The pass comes in. It's read beautifully from you, Stubb. But you're right, Sam Dixon. The lungs are gone. The legs are gone. That hurts. The technique's gone.
I think he was running backwards at one point.
Oh, but this kid's special. Joe Ravovo gets his double in this match. He's proven to be a match winner. But I tell you what, that just shows you what these two teams are given for their dues in this Cup semi-final.
Okay, 14-5 is the score. That might just be enough for New Zealand.
Well, the conversion is going to be the one. England need to score twice, Shawnee, to get in the lead. So they're basically going to have to get this kickoff and go down and score.
It's taken well. Mitchell back on the field. That's good news for coach Simon Amor. They have to score with this run of play. Bowen, he can go the distance. Burgess is rocked there by Mickelson. The other option here is if they can score. Glover, nice offload across for Bowen. Decline the shot at the conversion and try and score two tries. De Carpentier, the clock might just beat them though. Into the red it goes. And they're going to run out of time here, England. Glover. Glover, lovely ball for Burgess. Out to McConaughey, who scored the opener. Up towards the 22. Shoots it out the back. Here for Bowen. Bowen probing and then looping it over the top for Burgess, who's run himself into the turf. Glover. Mitchell. De Carpentier out wide. De Carpentier will look to link again, but he finds a black jersey, not a white one. The game is New Zealand's. They can just whip it in a touch if they want. Craig Joubert tells New Zealand to keep having a go. Well, they can do it with ball in hand, or they can just send it long and in a row one if they want. I suggest the latter might be the better of the two options. England look for the counter ruck here. Burgess comes around the side. These guys are gluttons. They've run themselves right into the ground. 14-5 full time. But that is
so
just two of the best
sides. We've got a result. New Zealand beating England by 14 points to 5. It'll be a South Africa-New Zealand final, which means we're in good set because we've got CVR and Mark Archer are going to be calling this one as well. NZ against SA.
Hate to say it, but that's what I predicted at the start of the tournament, Tom. So I just hope that my score prediction comes right in the final. So, yeah, to me, New Zealand, and I'm sure Arch will agree with me, they don't seem like the well-fine-tuned outfit that we normally know, but they did enough to win it.
Let's get back to pitch side where Chris McCarty is watching from above. We've got Graham Clues down on the side. How did you see it, Chris?
Yeah, we're going to go straight down to Graham Clues because he's got the victorious coach. He's got Clark Laidlaw with him.
I am indeed. He's just going to shake hands with the officials as they come off. Huge congratulations, Clark. That was a game of patience for you in New Zealand there.
Yeah, the boys worked bloody hard, didn't they? It's You know, massive credit. It's our first tournament together, and we're delighted to get to the final. It took a huge effort to get past Kenya, and we backed that up there against England. I thought we played really smart there. We really stuck to the game plan, which was, you know, really encouraging.
When England take a lead, 5-0, slim lead in sevens rugby, what are you thinking? What are you saying to the players there?
Oh, I thought we had plenty of the game. You know, we showed enough promise with the ball. So we talked at half-time. It's probably the best we've played the whole weekend. So we just had to stick at it and hope we got the tries and that came in the second half.
Terrific performance. South Africa in the final, they look strong as well. What are your early thoughts thinking about that?
Oh, they're the team to beat. You know, we've got a lot of respect for what they've done over the last couple of years. They've assembled a squad with 400 odd tournaments between them, which is huge, that experience. So we'll dust ourselves off, you know, get some good recovery, and look forward to the challenge.
Wonderful. We look forward to the match. Thank you for your time, Clark. We'll let you go and speak to your team again. Ah, terrific performance from New Zealand. As you said there, game of patience when you're 5-0 down in the semi-final, but you still have the ability and you still have the confidence and you can come back. And they've done it. They're in the final, looking for South Africa.
I still find it bizarre that a Scotsman is taking charge of the All Blacks. I think we've agreed that we can't call them the All Blacks. The All Blacks 7. What on earth are they doing calling on a Scotsman? It just doesn't sit well with me, Graham.
Well, I tell you what, it's working for them though, Chris, isn't it? They're in the final of the Dubai Sevens.
It certainly is. And my just observation on that as well, I should point out, lads, as well, the All Blacks were dead on their feet at the end of that match. And an early observation from me, and I know they've got a couple of hours now to get recuperated, etc., but I'm expecting a bloodbath in the final. I think this Blitzbocker will be the overwhelming favourites come that final a little later. Back to you, Tom.
Thanks very much indeed, Chris McCarty and Graham Clues for us in and around the pitch. Barcelona, it's one apiece against Celta Vigo at the moment. Messi with the goal for Barcelona. Iago Aspas with the earlier goal. One apiece between Barcelona and Celta Vigo in the La Liga. Early kickoff in the Premier League as well. And I believe it's the same scoreline there.
Yeah, Tom, what I can tell you is 31 minutes played. Chelsea 1, Newcastle 1. Fantastic goal by Eden Hazard for Chelsea.
Meanwhile, on the pitch, as the crowds come back to prepare themselves for the final round of games down here, we've got the Northwest Barbars taking on Westfield Griffins out on the main pitch. This is the first half of the Invitational Final, so we'll give you updates on that one. We'll also give you updates on all the other sports stories around the world. Australia victorious in the Rugby League World Cup final a little earlier on. We've got a match report on that coming up.
This is The Grill. Get involved with Dubai Eye on Facebook.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.